we had it yesterday here in Donegal, and that very sad burial of Private Rooney in Newton Cunningham, where yet again, as a community, we gather and, you know, it was beautiful that the president and all these people came again, but they were so aware that they were coming back to Donegal to be with us in a time of tragedy. But just picking up on what you just said, I read something wonderful about the nature of joy. Often we feel when other people are going through grief and we're associated with it, that it's not right to be joyful. Mm. Or indeed, even more particularly when we're going through our own our own sadness and pain, joy seems so far away. But the point about joy is that it is not about me. Joy is not egotistical. And therefore, because it doesn't ultimately come from me, it comes from above. And it is not only not right to be joyful, even in the face of other people's sadness, even in the face of my own sadness, it is proper to be joyful.
Mm.
Because
we struggle with that as humans. Not all of us, but, you know.
Oh, we do.
We're very flawed.
Oh, indeed. No, we're shot through with that flaw. And part of it is it can almost seem like a good thing to be miserable. You know, that it wouldn't be right for me to be happy in this.
And there is an element of conditioning to that as well. Forces beyond our control, be it the media or whatever, you know, and we're not going to get into a big debate on that.
No.
But because, and I'll allow you to continue that point in a moment, or I'd like you to, but Reverend Two, though, it's just that sometimes it feels overwhelming what seems like bad news. Do you know what I mean? You hear something, and I find myself, I find it can weigh me down greatly at times, is that everywhere you look, and maybe it's an age thing, as you get older, you encounter more of this, not exclusively, but perhaps you do. But everywhere you turn, you think there's a respite, and then there's something else that you hear.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Greg, and I think, you know, I suppose we had the couple of years of the pandemic where everything was changed completely. And then last year, whenever restrictions began to ease and so on, and we thought, oh, great, we're through all of that. But it seems 2022 was a really tough year for a lot of people. And, you know, the tragedies here within the county, but also the impact of the cost of living crisis. You know, people really, really struggling. I think everybody's feeling that, you know, and those who are on the margin of society are feeling it even more. So there is that. It's been a tough year. There's no doubt it's been a tough year. And I suppose we carry some of the pain and trauma of that with us all the time. But yet, you know, what Bishop Allen is saying, you know, one of the things about being a Christian is that we carry both pain and joy. And you know, we know the reality of pain, but we know the joy, the deep joy that comes from the presence of God with us. And joy and happiness are sort of different things, aren't they? Mm. You know, happiness is, there's a lovely frivolity to happiness, whereas joy is something deep within that we know that in spite of all that's going on around us, that there's a security in God's love.
Can I put another word on that as well? Contentment.
Yeah.
To feel content that today I don't really have something that I have to feel incredibly anxious or worried about. And that's what we seek, isn't it? That's contentment.
It is. And there's an amazing verse in the New Testament from St. Paul. And he wrote it from a prison cell, saying, I've learned the secret of contentment in every situation. And I sort of think, how on earth can you say that in a prison cell? But yet, there was somebody who's, you know, in earthly terms, his life was falling apart. Do you know, he was being persecuted, he was in a prison cell, and yet he was saying, I know a contentment. And for me, that's the difference that faith makes in a fractured and broken and hurting world, you know. Yeah. So that's why, you know, and for Alan and I, both as brother bishops, but as close friends, you know, we seek to carry that joy of God's presence and that contentment that you talk about as well, Greg.
Yeah, and of course, and through the awful tragedy of Chrysler and the ongoing tragedy, because it still is. I presume you two were good for each other. That friendship and spiritual help was because you don't get used to things like this. You don't.
No, nobody should carry any of these things alone, and having one another, the support that we were to one another, but also at that time, both of us would have seen, the amazing reality of the coming together of people, the outpouring of generosity and goodness was what carried. I can't speak for the people who truly suffered the tragedy, but I think they were hugely supported by the love of people gathering around. And thank God we still, we here in this county and of course in many other places, we have a great capacity for that.
Yeah,
I think what you know what I experienced at that time was, you know, utter heartache and pain, but yet incredible depths of goodness and love. And it's unusual, and all of us feel this. It's unusual some of the small things that stand out in our minds that stay with us. And one of the things, and it's a seemingly small thing, but it was. It really impacted me was on the Saturday morning when Alan and I went together to Creaslough, and it was at that point a recovery operation. And as we walked up to the site, there was a house on the right-hand side just walking up from the village, and I think every window was broken.
Yeah.
Every window was blown out. Yeah. And the lady of the house was coming out with a tray of tea to give it to those who were helping. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, her house was wrecked, and yet she was caring for people around her. And it's, you know, things like that that can almost pass you by, and you think, there's the goodness of people.